From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. If you want to know what's going on in politics, the saying goes, follow the money. And that's now what's happening to the Capitol Hill debate over how to respond to global warming. Democratic leaders in Congress say they want a strong bill on climate change this year, given some projections that inaction could lead to an economic meltdown. But any action on climate change is likely to result in some economic winners and losers. And business is now asking who would benefit and who would have to pay. From Washington, Living on Earth's Jeff Young has our report.
Call it the bucks and change of climate change. What's the cost of capping greenhouse gas emissions? And what's the cost if we don't? Lawmakers dove into those complex questions in simultaneous hearings on Capitol Hill. Senate Energy Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman heard from former World Bank chief economist Sir Nicholas Stern. Stern made waves last fall with a report estimating how global warming would affect the global economy, something Bingaman says has been missing from the talk in Washington.
Now, with the release of the report by Sir Nicholas Stern, we're beginning to understand and to focus not just on the costs of action, but the costs of inaction.
At the high end, Stern predicts climate calamities and mass dislocations of people that could drain up to 20% of the world's economic output. Critics question the unorthodox methods Stern used to put such uncertain events into dollars and pounds. But even at the low end of his predictions, unchecked climate change steals 5% of the world's wealth. Stern says cutting carbon emissions would cost just 1%.
That will not slow growth. It is failing to act that will eventually damage growth. The message from the economics of climate change is clear. We must act strongly, and we must act now.
While Stern spoke, leaders from corporate giants DuPont, BP, and Pacific Gas and Electric told senators on the Environment Committee they would welcome regulation of greenhouse gas emissions. DuPont CEO Chad Holliday says a carbon cap would encourage more businesses to save energy and money the way his has.
We have saved a 72% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions and $3 billion cumulatively since the early 90s in lower energy costs, and that's going on today.
The companies formed the U.S. Climate Action Partnership last month with environmentalists. Those partners want a law to cap greenhouse gas emissions and let industry trade pollution permits. The effort impressed one senator who could be a crucial swing vote, Republican John Warner of Virginia.
When I see such an extraordinary cross-section of America's free enterprise system come and form a group like this, you've got my attention.
Warner's state digs and burns coal, and he is highly respected in his party. If he warms to a climate bill, it would gain major momentum. But other Republicans attacked the companies in the climate partnership. Missouri Senator Kit Bond says the CEOs are more interested in the bottom line than any lofty environmental benefit.
I have some questions when I see members of industry and business pursuing goals that are very harmful to other industries, but profitable for them. Let's not get that competitive advantage by sticking it to some people who are the least able to handle those costs.
Peter Darby of PG&E bristled at Bond's accusation.
The suggestion that we're doing this to realize some form of monopoly profits or corner the market is totally without merit.
Whatever motivates a business leader's decisions on climate change, it's clear a cap on carbon emissions could decide who wins and loses in the business world. And that explains why lobbying on global warming is red hot lately. Scott Siegel lobbies for the firm Bracewell & Giuliani, which represents power companies that burn a lot of coal.
I don't think that anybody was here today fully out of a sense of altruism. I'm not saying they don't believe that what they're doing is right. I'm just saying that there are many, many economic motives that lie just below the surface in the climate debate.
One of Siegel's clients, power company TXU, wants to exempt power plants like the dozen the company plans in Texas. Other companies focus on how a carbon cap-and-trade system is set up. The tiniest details could mean millions of dollars. In short, companies that once lobbied to simply stop a climate change bill must now consider what happens if such a bill actually becomes law. And there's a saying in the world of K Street lobbyists, if you're not at the table, you might end up on the menu. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Washington.